Good morning and welcome, my friends. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whelan. Very excited to have you with us here tonight. It is Thursday, May 24th, 2007, 2 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone. It is, it's been certainly action-packed. Previous 3 hours, got an hour left to go in the show. Welcome to all of you joining us on shortwave at frequency 3.215. Welcome to all of you listening online at republicbroadcasting.org. Our phone number, 800-313-9443. Fantastic information thus far. And we kind of talked a little bit about this this idea that Muslims, Christians, and Jews alike all can certainly identify with the flood story of Noah, and how important that is in global warming and whatnot, as they create this monument to raise awareness amongst politicians in preparation for the big, I guess you could say, the gathering of where these nations will come together and talk about the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change and so on and so forth. And then again, now you've got this huge unification between Jewish, Christian, and Muslim leaders here in America to basically say, hey, we demand that the U.S. government take some action on global warming. Yeah. Again, unity, it's a potentially scary thing. Again, with the whole problem-reaction-solution concept, you can see that that would be a problematic. Well, here is a story of some disunity, I guess you could say, among some religious groups. Associated Press, May 17th. Christians in a Pakistani town beset by pro-Taliban militants sought government protection Wednesday, the eve of a deadline for them to convert to Islam or face violence. About 500 Pakistani Christians in Charsada, a town in the northwest frontier province bordering Afghanistan, received letters earlier this month telling them to close their churches and convert by Thursday or be the target of bomb explosions. Not just bombs and not just explosions, but bomb explosions. Several Christians, a tiny minority in the predominantly Muslim country, have fled towns, and others are living in fear, said community leaders. Some have complained that police were not taking the threat seriously, said a Charsada Christian leader by the name of Chaudhry Salim. He said during a news conference in Islamabad, quote, "Police say someone is joking with us by writing these letters. They have deployed only two policemen at our churches. This is the kind of security we are getting now," end quote. So, oh, don't worry about it. Nothing to worry about. According to Asif Dodzai, a spokesman for the provincial government, he asked Christians not to panic, saying authorities are doing all they could to ensure their protection. Yes, we've sent two police officers. What more do you want? We're doing all we can. it's not funny, but it's a direct contradiction, that's for sure. Islamic radicals trying to impose Taliban-style social edicts in northwestern Pakistan are growing bolder, bombing shops selling Western films, threatening barbers for trimming beards, and warning hotels to remove televisions from guest rooms. Minorities and secular opposition parties say the government is doing too little to counter the quote-unquote Talibanization of growing swaths of the country. So very interesting, getting back to the roots of the good old Taliban, and of course the very fact that we've sort of ingratiate ourselves with various Taliban leaders and whatnot who have, of course we went to war to remove them, but we've invited them back in. And of course in Pakistan, Musharraf has kind of cut some deals saying, hey, look, you know, you guys are basically kicking our butts. How about we just say we'll stop coming after you? But anyway, so what I'm getting at here is that obviously there's still room to disagree amongst the various religions. So have no fear, even though here in America, they're all holding hands and again, in unison, pointing fingers at the U.S. government, demanding them to take some action. Nobody actually saying what kind of action needs to be taken or what the sort of punitive measures would be if someone doesn't take action or they don't go along with the flow. But in other parts of the world, everything's still normal. People are still killing each other for their beliefs. Stay with us back in three with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Glad you're here. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Here we go. Talking about, of course, weather changes, and I guess you could... Oh, my mic just slipped there. Yes, just global warming and things like that. Now, keep in mind, the Pentagon's climate report basically is entitled Abrupt Climate Change Scenarios and things like that. They're not necessarily talking about warming, per se, right? So here we are. Just a week out from June, a week out from the beginning of hurricane season, this one out of Colorado, Rocky Mountain News, came out earlier today. Don't set the holiday picnic table just yet. You might need to clear some snow first. The National Weather Service says rain or thundershowers are likely throughout this evening along the Front Range, with snow showers expected by midnight in the Castle Rock area. Thunderstorms could be heavy on the eastern plains. The southwestern mountains of Colorado are under a snow advisory, up to 8 inches of accumulation possible by early evening. There you go. Snow in Colorado. Snow in other places, too. I believe Montana has been getting some of that. We're due for about 7 straight days of rain, if you believe the forecast, which I never do. But no snow here in northwest Arkansas, which I'm quite happy about. This is intriguing. This is out of South Africa at the capetimes.co.za. Came out yesterday. And it says, the icy weather of snow, hail, and heavy rain that has swept across South Africa over the last few days has set 54, count them, 54 weather records. Snow, hail, and heavy rain in South Africa over the last few days has set 54 individual weather records. That's saying something. Again, as we talked earlier about with Patty Heron, and I was saying, you know, these stories about, you know, where you see words like rare and unusual and historic and record-breaking. These are all terms to pay attention to. It goes on. The South African Weather Service said 34 new records were set on Monday and another 20 yesterday. Almost all the records were for the lowest maximum and minimum daily temperatures in towns across the country. There was snow on all high-lying areas of the Eastern Cape and on some of the low-lying areas, said Weather South Africa's regional manager for the province. So snow there as well. Very interesting. So what's going on global warming-wise? Well, here's an interesting thing from the AP. Came out earlier today, Wednesday. Al Gore received rock star treatment when he launched his national book tour at an event that seemed more like a campaign stop than a book signing. Many in the crowd came to the Wilshire Theater Tuesday, and they sported Gore 2008 buttons and held signs that read, "Re-elect Gore in 2008. I think that's funny. Again, re-elect, implying that, of course, he did win in 2000, is what they're saying. A petition also circulated urging the former vice president to enter the White House race again. Very intriguing because I don't know if it'll happen. I don't know that it will, but it's intriguing. Meanwhile, Gore, who lost the 2000 presidential election to Bush despite winning the popular vote, was at ease in a black suit and cowboy boots joking with actor and satirist, Harry Shearer during a discussion on, quote, "The Assault on Reason," end quote, that preceded a book signing. So that's his new book, The Assault on Reason. Everybody's writing books. Have you noticed that? Every politician of note has written a book, at least one, supposedly, at least one about themselves, and at least one on their comments on how things should go and how things should be and so on and so forth. Now, do I actually think they wrote those books? No. But at the same time, everybody's putting them out, cranking them out with reckless abandon. So, anyway, Al Gore has a book out. When asked about the timing of the book's release, Gore's response was drowned out by chants from the crowd of, "Run, run, run." Everybody thinks that Al Gore should run. I don't know. Maybe he will. I suppose he could, but I don't think it's going to happen. I really don't. I think that this thing has already been promised to Hillary. Maybe she'd pull him in as a VP, I suppose, but it's just unlikely. I don't think it'll happen. In the book, Gore rips the Bush administration and laments what he described as America's diminishing political discourse and eroding democracy. How about that? Al Gore is upset. With the way things are going, he's upset with where we're heading. He thinks that we're losing our freedoms. This is Al Gore. It's like, wait a minute, aren't you supposed to be talking about, you know, the environment and stuff? He's saying, no, let's talk about everything. During the hour-long discussion, Gore said that despite a lack of evidence regarding weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, Congress and the media barely questioned the Bush administration. Said Gore, quote, "They were afraid of being branded unpatriotic. I'm troubled by the fact that we were so shockingly vulnerable to being manipulated," end quote. Gore also charged that Bush did not ask questions during critical meetings on Osama bin Laden before the September 11th terrorist attacks and on Hurricane Katrina before the storm made landfall. So again, tying it back to ineptness and global warming in some capacity. Gore said, quote, "If there is a determined incuriosity," I didn't even know that was a word, "what that tells me is there's a belief that the way our country operates now, that there wasn't much fear on his part that he would be held accountable by the news media or the people or by Congress for not paying attention," end quote. In essence, he's saying that Bush didn't really care because he knew that people didn't care enough to ask hard questions, have the media actually, you know, sort of call Bush to task for his dropping the ball, in essence. Marta Jorgensen, who drove from Santa Barbara for the event, said Gore needs to be in the White House in order to make real changes. Al Gore, yeah, you're writing about it, but you need to be there. You need to be in the big seat, in the big chair, in the big room, in the big house. You got to be there to make these changes, Al Gore, because you got it all figured out, said Jorgensen, who's just, I guess, a person they quoted for this article. She said, quote, "The things that need to be done, they can't be done unless you're in the executive branch," end quote. Recent polling has put Gore behind Democratic presidential hopefuls Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, garnering support from about 12% to 16% of those surveyed. So Al Gore, superhero that he is, rock star treatment that he receives, Academy Award winning Al Gore, champion of the environment, is still not even the number one selection amongst people looking at the Democratic candidates. Very intriguing. The book tour is one of several events in the coming weeks that will boost Gore's visibility and inevitably invite questions about his political plans. The former vice president, whose documentary An Inconvenient Truth won an Academy Award this year, is scheduled to headline the seven-continent Live Earth concerts in July to raise awareness on the threat of climate change. The concerts will mark the start of a multi-year campaign to fight global warming. Again, very, very interesting. We've got the start of the hurricane season, which again means nothing because hurricanes don't obey schedules. They just come and go as they please. But conditions are more ripe for a hurricane during hurricane season. As a result of that, you've got what happens. Well, the various countries and world leaders meeting to discuss the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change's report. That's coming up here during hurricane season. I think that's significant. And then, of course, you've got Al Gore and these seven continent spanning live Earth concerts taking place all over the planet to highlight what? Global warming. Taking place in July. So in the context of these things, we might see, again, horrific tragedies of natural disasters, hurricanes and whatnot, the aftermath showing things, raising money, raising awareness of global warming, and Al Gore being in the spotlight. Now, will he run? I still don't think he will, but it's very possible. I have been wrong before. I know it's shocking, but it's true. Said David Nemtzow? Yeah. He's an energy conservation consultant who attended Al Gore's book signing. He said, quote, "The guy's a visionary. He was right about climate change. He was right about the war. He was right about technology." End quote. Al Gore, the man who's been right about everything. He should be president. He's a visionary. I know. I'm making light of the whole thing. Is Al Gore a visionary? I don't know. I seriously doubt it. But at the same time, is he better than George W. Bush? I'm sure a lot of people would say yes. I don't know that I would say yes, but a lot of people would say yes. So, inevitably, and we've talked about this before, with the campaigns sort of on the campaign trail, people are already out there doing the campaigning and whatnot, and maybe Al Gore is trying to wait till the last minute and swoop in when he's not going to be scrutinized as a potential candidate per se, but rather be given the spotlight simply as an advocate for change, for global warming, given the spotlight as a visionary, right? So it's possible, I suppose, he could swoop in and again, avoiding all the hit pieces and things that would inevitably crop up in the course of political analysis. But again, right now, that is secondary. And what is that secondary to? Of course, immigration. This is big news all this week. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but we'll talk a little bit about what's been happening and what's going on. The immigration situation is a doozy, and I think it will fall away. I think that it, you know, nothing big is going to happen. But the point is that dialogue is happening right now. Different concepts are being tossed around, and these concepts are vital to be understood. It's so crucial that we take a look at sort of what our politicians are talking about. Now, again, when you look at the whole thing, you could say, yeah, well, of course, there's an election year coming up, and granted, it's a ways off, no doubt, but it's close enough for people to try to make some sort of impression amongst this pool of candidates, a vast assortment of candidates on both sides. And again, it shouldn't even be sides, right? A left and a right, Democrat and Republican. But there's still so many different candidates in both parties that people have to try to distinguish themselves somehow. And again, the minority vote is something that people are always actively seeking. And in this case, with immigration, we'll be talking about the Hispanic vote. So you've got various people who have come out there and expressed positions about stuff. But for the most part, what you've got here is almost a competition. People saying, well, I'll cater to the Hispanics more than you will. Oh, yeah, well, I'll up your suggestion, and I'll increase it by this much, and I'll magnify it by this percentage, and we'll do this, this, and this in addition to what you're saying. So again, a series of one-upmanship sort of issues coming about in the realm of immigration, which we're going to take a look at when we come back here in about 3 minutes, my friends. Please stay with us for more Frankly Speaking Radio.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
World War III? Rising fuel prices? Financial collapse? Trucker strike? North American Union? Our world has become a very fragile place, and we need to be prudent and plan ahead. Don't wait for an impending crisis to become reality. Then it will be too late. Stoves and More wants to help give you freedom from the systems of the world. If the grid is down and fossil fuels are not available to you, how would you heat your home, cook your food, and heat your water? People, we need to be more independent and able to take care of ourselves in a natural disaster, political crisis, or financial crisis. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you the independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. With the right application, you'll be able to use these stoves all year long, not just during the winter months. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at stovesandmoreonline.com. Food, water, and a wood cook stove are keys to your survival in a crisis. Take action!
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Fantastic story here. This is in regards to the Senate bill, and we'll talk about that. But this is an assessment from the Heritage Foundation. We've interviewed some people from them, from that organization before, although I think it was on the morning show. Anyway, a fantastic assessment of the whole thing and sort of what's going on and how it affects you or how it will sort of affect the situation. It's very, very scary stuff and almost bizarre, honestly. And the only thing I can think of is that this is simply political pandering, which I think that this issue, as far as the campaign trail, will fall away for the most part because there will be more immediate things that pop up. I don't know. But let's talk about it. This is you could find this at heritage.org if you're interested. It came out earlier today or yesterday, if you want to be more specific about it. Here's what it says. The most controversial component of the Senate's Secure Borders, Economic Opportunity, and Immigration Reform Act of 2007 is Title VI, euphemistically entitled, quote, non-immigrants in the United States previously in unlawful status, end quote. Well, yes. So basically not calling them criminals, just saying they were previously in an unlawful state of being, but not unlawful anymore. It would create a new Z-class visa exclusively for illegal aliens. This title would change the status of those who are here illegally to legal, essentially granting amnesty to those, quote, previously in unlawful status, end quote. This seriously flawed proposal would undermine the rule of law by granting massive benefits to those who have been willfully violating U.S. laws while denying those benefits to those who have played by the rules and sometimes even to U.S. citizens, meaning, of course, that illegals will now be treated better than you and me and presumably other people who are legal citizens and those who have attempted to do things the right way, to try to get to America, to make a better life for themselves through legal channels, through proper channels, and so on and so forth. So this thing is devastating. It's interesting, too, because we've talked about it before. You know, will there be a revolution? Will people revolt? Will they overthrow the government? Will there be violence? Will there be, you know, some sort of crazy militant response to something the government does? And I've said it many, many times. I don't want it. I desperately, desperately do not want to see that. However, given the state of this, I don't even know, this act, this potential act, I think that you would see a revolution if this thing were to go through, because it's so in contrast to the will of the people. It's just, it's absolutely amazing that something like this would even be suggested by one political party, let alone, you know, people trying to, again, sort of get in on it and say, hey, I'm a Democrat or I'm a Republican and I believe in this. Or I believe in great portions of this. This is a good thing. It's amazing to me. And if you've not heard this, this will be amazing to you. So the Heritage Foundation analyzes 10 of the worst provisions that are just a part of Title VI of this bill, okay, which is that Class Z visa. Okay, and they say it's by no means an exhaustive list, meaning there are plenty of things to complain about, but these are the most flawed provisions, just 10 of them that they highlight here in this story. Here's what it says. Point number one, a massive amnesty. And it says Title VI of the bill will grant amnesty to virtually all of the 12 million to 20 million illegal aliens in the country today. This amnesty would dwarf the amnesty that the United States granted with disastrous consequences in 1986 to 2.7 million illegal aliens. So that was only 2.7 million. We're talking about upwards of 20 million today. Indeed, it says, the Senate's bill imposes no cap on the total number of individuals who could receive a Z visa status. To initially qualify for a Z visa, the illegal alien need only to have a job or to be the parent, spouse, or child of someone who has a job and provide two documents suggesting that he or she was in the country before January 1, 2007 and has remained in the country since then. A bank statement, a pay stub, or similarly forgeable record will do. So these two types of documents saying that they were here before January 1 and have stayed here since then, obviously easily forgeable. I mean, a pay stub? Come on. It says also acceptable for the legislation is a sworn affidavit from a non-relative. So again, it's just somebody saying, yep, I saw so-and-so, and they were here then, and they're here now. I promise. And that's enough. The price of a Z visa is $3,000 for individuals, only slightly more than the going rate to hire a coyote to smuggle a person across the border. A family of five could purchase visas for the bargain price of $5,000, some $20,000 short of the net cost that household is likely to impose on local, state, and federal governments each year, according to the Heritage Foundation's calculations. So obviously, you can see here that the Heritage Foundation, not a big fan of this idea. And why would they be? How could anybody be? Honestly. Point number two. Oh, I think I hear the music quietly playing in the background. It is about that time. We'll pause here for a break. We'll come back, and we will do our best to knock this story out here in the 25 minutes or so remaining to us here in the program. Stay with us, folks. More Frankly Speaking Radio after this.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Welcome back. Glad you're here. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. And we continue, folks. Point number two from the Heritage Foundation of, again, very, very, very flawed provisions of Title VI of the Senate Secure Borders Economic Opportunity Immigration Reform Act of 2007. Point number two is the permanent temporary visa. It says supporters of the bill call the Z visa a temporary visa. However, they neglect to mention it can be renewed every 4 years until the visa holder dies. So it's temporary, but it can be renewed for as long as they live. This would be the country's first permanent temporary visa. On top of that, it is a super visa, allowing the holder to work, attend college, or travel abroad and then re-enter, meaning, in essence, that they would be subject to less scrutiny than you would be if you wanted to travel across a border with merely just a passport. A law-abiding alien, it says, with normal non-immigrant status, with a normal non-immigrant visa, would surely desire to have a privileged status. However, for them, only illegal aliens can qualify for this. So even if you're already here as a legal immigrant, you still don't get the benefits of an illegal immigrant under this provision. It says, and contrary to popular misconception, illegal aliens need not return to their home countries to apply for the Z visa. That's only necessary if and when an alien decides to adjust from Z visa status to lawful permanent resident or green card status. And even then, it's not really the country of origin. Any consulate outside the United States can take applications at the discretion or at the direction of the Secretary of State. Number three, hobbled background checks. The bill would make it extremely difficult for the federal government to prevent criminals and terrorists from obtaining legal status. The bill would allow the government only one business day to conduct a background check to determine whether an applicant is a criminal or a terrorist, unless the government can find a reason not to grant it by the end of the next business day after the alien applies. The alien will receive a probationary Z visa. That's good from the time of approval until 6 months after the date Z visas begin to be approved, however long that may be. So that may be quite a while. That will let them roam throughout the country and seek employment legally. The problem is there is no single readily searchable database in all of the dangerous people in the world. And that's true. And we've seen many, many times through things like the no-fly list and all these other different shenanigans that it is by no means safe, secure, and thorough, and dependable and reliable for that matter as well. But it goes on. The need for effective background checks is real. During the 1986 amnesty, the United States granted legal status to Mahmoud the Red Abulahima. That's what we're going to go with. Mahmoud the Red Abulahima, who fraudulently sought and obtained the amnesty intended for seasonal agricultural workers. He went on to become a ringleader in the 1993 terrorist attacks against the World Trade Center. Using his new legal status after the amnesty, he was able to travel abroad for terrorist training. So, quite simply there, you have a perfect, shining, glaringly obvious example of why this is a bad thing. We have been told countless times, terrorists will hit us again. It's a matter of when, not a matter of if. It's going to happen. So what do you get? You get, well, port security being turned over to foreign governments and, you know, that concept being floated. And this idea of an amnesty, this idea of an open border, it's just ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. Point number four, amnesty for absconders. Title VI's amnesty extends even to fugitives who have been ordered deported by immigration judges but chose to ignore their removal orders. More than 636,000 absconders are now present in the country, having defied the law twice. Once when they broke U.S. immigration laws by coming here, and again when they ignored the orders of the immigration courts to leave. The Senate's bill allows the government to grant Z visas to absconders. Though this bill appears to deny the visa to absconders, Section 601D, Subsection 1, Subsection I, allows the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services officials to give an absconder the Z visa anyway if the absconder can demonstrate that departure from the United States, quote, would result in extreme hardship to the alien or the alien's spouse, parent, or child, end quote. So they simply have to demonstrate that it would be a bad thing if they left, if it affected them or any member of their family, in essence. Well, how easy is that, right? Anyway, Heritage Foundation's assessment goes on to say this is a massive loophole because so many things can be construed to constitute, quote, extreme hardship. This might include removing a child from an American school and placing him in a school in an impoverished country or deporting a person with any chronic illness. Attorneys representing aliens would also argue that if any member of an absconder's family is a U.S. citizen, then the other members must remain in the United States because the separation of family members would constitute extreme hardship. I know. It's amazing. Like I said, if you've not heard this before, I know your jaw's on the floor. I can sympathize. It goes on. This would also be a reward to those who have defied U.S. immigration courts. Those who have successfully fled justice could receive the most generous visa ever created, but those who have complied with the law and have waited years to enter legally would have to wait longer still. Point number five. Reverse justice. It said this bill would effectively shut down the immigration court system. In essence, what they're saying is that under this section, if an alien in the removal process is eligible for Z visa status, an immigrant judge must close any proceedings against the alien and offer the alien an opportunity to apply for amnesty. So if they're about to be kicked out, they can simply say to the judge, hey, we want to apply for the Z visa status. And the judge would say, okay, that's it. We'll wrap up the court. We'll close the proceedings and you will be allowed to apply. Amazing. Point number six, enforcement of amnesty, not laws. It says the bill would transform Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, otherwise known as ICE, from a law enforcement agency into an amnesty distribution center. If an ICE agent apprehends aliens who appear to be eligible for the Z visa, the agent cannot detain them. Instead, Immigrations and Customs Enforcement must provide them a reasonable opportunity to apply for the Z visa. Instead of initiating removal proceedings, ICE will be initiating amnesty applications. This is the equivalent of turning the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Agency, into a needle distribution network. Powerful stuff. Point number seven, amnesty for gang members. This is like the big thing that we hear about, is it not? The big gang problems. Oh, you got all these Mexican gangs. And certainly down in Mexico, we've been hearing about Calderon, and he's getting all of the military to go and fight against these drug lords, and he's not even winning. Okay? So obviously the organized crime in Mexico, it's pretty substantial, and they have infiltrated here into the United States in the form of gangs. It says, amnesty for gang members. Gang members would be eligible to receive amnesty. This comes at a time when violent international gangs such as MS-13 have brought mayhem to U.S. cities. More than 30,000 illegal alien gang members operate in 33 states, trafficking in drugs, arms, and people. Deporting illegal alien gang members has been a top ICE priority. The Senate bill would end that. To qualify for amnesty, all a gang member would need to do is note his gang membership and sign a, quote, renunciation of gang affiliation, end quote. They would write on a piece of paper, I'm sorry, I quit the gang officially, and they would turn it in, and then they would get it. That's it. That's all they need to qualify for amnesty. Stunning. Absolutely stunning. Point number eight. This will probably infuriate some people. Tuition subsidies for illegal aliens. The Senate bill incorporates the Development, Relief, and Education for Alien Minors Act, also known as DREAM. It says the DREAM Act effectively repeals a 1996 federal law that prohibits any state from offering in-state tuition rates to illegal aliens unless the state also offers in-state tuition rates to all U.S. citizens. 10 states are currently defying this federal law. Section 616 would allow these and other states to offer in-state tuition rates to any illegal alien who obtains the Z visa and attends college. The injustice of this provision is obvious. Illegal aliens would receive a taxpayer subsidy worth tens of thousands of dollars and would be treated better than U.S. citizens from out of state, who must pay three to four times as much to attend that college. In an era of limited educational resources and rising tuition rates, U.S. citizens, not aliens openly violating federal law, should be first in line to receive education subsidies. Well, that seems like, again, a very, very obvious point. But apparently it's not to the politicians. This is just unbelievable, is it not? It says, further, legal aliens who possess an appropriate F-class, J-class, or M-class student visa would not receive this valuable benefit, nor would they be eligible for the federal student loans that illegal aliens could obtain through this provision. So in essence, if you are a legal alien from a country and you came here to go to school, a student visa, under the classes F, J, or M, you can't qualify for in-state tuition. But if you're illegal, you do. And that's in-state anywhere, any state. So yes, maybe you came across the border illegally and have been camping out somewhere, maybe in, Arizona or Texas or something like that, but you really want to go to school in Wisconsin for some strange reason, you can now do that with this Z-class visa. Number nine, taxpayer-funded lawyers for illegal aliens. The Senate's bill would force taxpayers to foot the bill for many illegal aliens' lawyers. Under current law, illegal aliens are not eligible for federally funded legal services. Section 622M of the bill would allow millions of illegal aliens who work in agriculture to receive free legal services. Every illegal alien working in the agricultural sector would have access to an immigration attorney to argue his case through the immigration courts and federal courts of appeals, all at taxpayer expense. This provision alone could cost hundreds of millions of dollars each year. Amazing stuff. So, in essence, folks, it might be more profitable for you to flee the country, get citizenship status in Mexico or Canada, and then illegally enter the country and be given a Z-class visa that is only temporary, but again can be renewed every 4 years until you die. And, of course, if that applies to anybody in your family, then, you know, you're squared away too. And finally, again, 10 points of interest in just this one section. And as they say in the Heritage Foundation assessment, this is not comprehensive by any means. It's just simply 10 infuriating things that should really set you off. Point number 10, amnesty before enforcement triggers. It says proponents of the Senate approach have consistently claimed that it would allow delayed amnesty only after certain law enforcement goals are met. The text of the bill, however, tells a different story. Section 1A allows provisional Z visas to be issued immediately upon, immediately after enactment. So, in essence, as soon as this is passed in law, they would be granting these things. Okay, the provisional ones, which again are the temporary permanent visas, right? If that makes any sense. It says Section 601F subsection 2 prohibits the federal government from waiting more than 180 days after enactment to begin issuing provisional visas. So they have to do it. These provisional Z visas could be valid for years depending on when the government begins issuing non-provisional Z visas. Moreover, the provisional designation means very little. These visas are nearly as good as non-provisional Z visas, giving the alien immediate lawful status, protection from deportation, authorization to work, and the ability to exit and reenter the country with advance permission. These privileges are all listed in Section 601H1. And finally, the conclusion here, it says, what becomes unmistakably clear from the details of the Senate's bill is that it is not a compromise in any meaningful sense. Indeed, the sweeping amnesty provisions of Title VI cripple law enforcement and undermine the rule of law. So when they say this is not an amnesty program, this couldn't be more of an amnesty program. 1986, obviously, we had some problems. Obviously, we had a terrorist come in there in 86 and in 93. Was a participant in the 1993 bombing of the World Trade Center. So obviously waited a substantial amount of time before going ahead with his little plan. Now that was for 2.7 million illegals, which I wasn't aware of, because in 86 I was 11 years old. However, now, again, 12 million, 20 million, 25 million, 30 million, we don't know. That's how much they're talking about with this. So again, this is very, very important to understand. It's crazy, and I think it's technically illegal, but a lot of these laws and bills and acts and different types of legislation are written in legalese, where you technically would need to have a degree in law to be able to understand all the implications and things like that. So it's very good to be able to have this type of breakdown done by the Heritage Foundation, and presumably others are doing the same thing. But it's written in that fashion because most people are not going to sit there and read the whole thing. For example, the Patriot Act, right? The USA Patriot Act. How many people have actually sat down and read the whole thing? I mean, I have, and I'm sure a lot of you have, but the majority of America, no, which is why they didn't see a big problem with it. They didn't see any sort of issue with some of the things that were being brought about. They said, I'm not a terrorist. It doesn't affect me. With this situation, too, they'd say, well, you know, I don't want an amnesty, but I sympathize with people who are trying to make their lives better, and they might try to sneak across. Well, sure, I do too. But is it logical, when you boil it down to the bare bones, is it logical that someone who is in the country illegally, maybe a member of a gang, breaking the law on a regular basis, maybe they've been caught, maybe they've been told to go to court, maybe they didn't show up to court, maybe they did go to court and were told to leave, but they didn't leave. Is it fair for people with that type of situation to be treated better than those who sought to come into this country legally? Or even more astounding, those who have spent their whole lives living here in America legally, contributing to society, trying to make their communities, their cities, their states, and their country a better place? I don't know. I would say no, but then again, you may feel differently about it. As I said at the beginning, before we started this this assessment, this rundown here, I don't want any sort of violence, but I've been listening to the way people have been talking, I've been seeing the things that have been said, and I have been just astounded by the huge amount of people that are coming to the same conclusions that I am about this, and that is that you know, eventually this thing's going to get violent. It's going to get nasty. It's going to be a mess. I don't want to see it. I won't participate in it. I don't want anything to do with it. I am not a fan of armed revolution, but I can't see how America will just let this thing slide. Hey, look, there are a wide assortment of people who are absolutely clueless to what's going on in the world around them. They just don't care. They don't know. They don't have the time. They don't want to put in the effort. Whatever the case may be, they just don't know what's going on. Everybody knows about this. And that's why I think this issue will fall by the wayside. I think this issue will be sort of put off into the distant future, and more pressing issues in the political trail will crop up to make this thing secondary or even further on down the list. But I tell you what, I've said this. I said when there is an issue that is big enough for Americans to rise up and complain against and to fight against and rally against, this is one of those. This is something that's big enough. And here you have basically the illegal vote, the Hispanic vote, presumably mostly Hispanic. And you've got the politicians all sort of looking ahead to their next election and their next continuation of employment status. And there are far more everyday Americans who are out of work, who have been told, oh, these are jobs that Americans won't do. Americans would do them, but they need to be able to say, if I work 80 hours at this job, I can't make enough money to live. I think it's arrogant to say Americans wouldn't do those jobs. I'd happily do those jobs, as any of you would. If it paid, that's the problem. Stay with us. We're back in three.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, Documents, plural, .com.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, the conclusion here of the fastest 4 hours in talk radio. So we just took a good look sort of at what's going on with the immigration situation and the different political pandering by both parties and all sorts of different people involved. And I mentioned that, you know, one of the things I've said many, many times is that there will eventually come a time. I don't know what that issue would be. I kind of assumed it would be a gun grab, but I think that this one probably is on par with that. You've got a situation where American citizens, people who have, you know, been a part of this country for a long, long time. And I know, you know, it's not to say that illegal immigrants or immigrants in general don't make a contribution. Of course they do. And of course they care. And of course they appreciate the freedoms they've been given. But we would take this as an insult, not because we're jealous or anything like that, although that may be a part of it. It's just simply a situation of entitlement. When you work hard and you don't get anything, and then you just basically show up and you're just granted everything and more, that's an issue. This might be that issue. This might be the one that really kicks America into high gear. I don't know. But I urge you, okay, in the interest of preserving some amount of civility, some amount of morality, some ethics, I would urge you to understand that the illegals who would be given all of these things, despite the fact that they flaunted the law, despite the fact that they're illegals, okay, they're not undocumented, they're illegals, they're lawbreakers. I'm not saying I don't understand and sympathize and, hey, everybody wants a better life for themselves and their kids. No doubt. We can all agree with that. Everybody wants that. But the enemies in this situation are the politicians who are doing this, not the illegals. I fear that, a situation would come up and we'd hear stories about people, you know, going on shooting sprees and whatnot if this thing were to pass. People just getting out there and being violent to the illegals. They're not doing this. It's the politicians. You can get all the illegals in the world, okay, and they all show up somewhere. I don't know, a city on a certain date with petitions and signatures and whatnot, and guess what? If the politicians didn't facilitate their appeasement, nothing would happen. It's that simple. So understand what's going on here. This is a politician issue. These are the people who are taking away from you and giving to others. These are the people who are not listening to their people, to their constituency. These are the public servants who are not serving the public that supposedly elected them. So, you know, just keep that in mind. Okay, now again, I think this issue will fall by the wayside and more pressing issues will come to the forefront, but that doesn't mean you should forget. That doesn't mean you should forget who voted for this, who thinks this is a good idea, who is, you know, out there in the press, grandstanding in the public eye, making statements and saying, yes, we need, this is a fair thing, America's a great place and it should be open to everybody, blah, 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 blah. Just remember that. And when it comes time and the opportunity arises to vote them out, do it. Vote them out. These people are not representing you. They are not representatives of the people. They are not public servants. They are self-interest serving leeches, parasites. That's what politics has become. It's just a situation. And they always talk, it'll be good for the economy. It'll be good for the economy. Yeah, it'd be great for the economy. For the big businesses to be able to employ people for dirt cheap. For them to be able to depress basically what is now considered to be the middle or lower class of America, to take us and put us into abject poverty instead of just this, you know, touching the surface, a toe dipped in the pool of poverty where we're all at now. It's a real tragedy. I don't think it will go forward this year. That's not to say it won't go forward at some point. Pay close attention to what's going on in the world around you, folks. Everything affects you. Everything that affects somebody else affects you. Everything that affects somebody else, that affects somebody else, that affects somebody else affects you. We have to start caring. And I don't know where you're at. I know you're out there listening, but is that all you're doing? You're just going to sit there and absorb stuff? You're just going to be a sponge? Where is your concern? Where's your compassion? Not just for yourselves, but for other people. Where are we out there in the world? Why don't we care about such things? It's amazing to me, absolutely amazing, that I see so much lack of concern and awareness out there. Yeah. Anyway, what are you going to do, right? We'll see you tomorrow night.
A message for all.